Hello, and welcome to The Notorious Scoundrels. My name is Evan Paul, a.k.a. Doc Velo. I'm here with Mike Berry. Mike goes by the mysterious mononym of Dashes. Very cool. Maybe someday we'll find out what the origin and story of Dashes is, Mike. How are you, though?
I'm pretty good. The story is not very interesting, but we can definitely get to it.
Don't spoil it. Sure. All right, we're going to have to come up with a convenient lie for how interesting it is for some other time then. We also have a guest today. That is Nick Bodnar. We are going to formally introduce him in just a moment. But first, we got a little business to get through. We'll be quick about it, I promise. First of all, the new intro music that you just heard, as well as our outro music, is the Star Wars theme as performed by the Consoles. That's Consoules. That is an Australian jazz band that, as you might guess from the name, specializes in video game covers as jazz band mixes. I've been listening to them for a long time. They were kind enough to let us use their music for our intro and outro, so please do check them out. We will have a link in the show notes, and we will continue to have that. Other business, we do have a Patreon. We got stuff there. Go to patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. Take a look around. See if you're interested in list reviews, getting your painted minis up on YouTube. You'll see that at the end of this video. Or if you just like what we do, please do check it out. And if you feel like whatever you're looking for is worth it, then you can contribute. If you don't, then I promise we aren't checking the receipts. You can continue to listen to our podcast for the freebies.
Maybe you're not checking the receipts.
Yeah, Mike might be checking the receipts. I can't promise that he won't be, but I will not. So I will never call anybody out for listening for free. Last thing on the blog this week, we have already published a General Grievous unit guide from yours truly. We also have a, some would call it unhinged, review of the Las Vegas Invitational Series. I would call it unbound by the traditional mores of blog writing. That was written by Austin Miller, who was the runner-up for the Invitational Series. It was possibly co-written by malware that came from the Las Vegas Sphere. What am I talking about? You're going to have to read. That's all we're going to talk about here. Later this week, we are going to have another unit guide from yours truly on Darth Vader, and we're going to get into the LVOGT. We also have new pieces from Matt Bronson and Shatterpoint and Tower Number 9 for Star Wars Unlimited for y'all to take a look at. That is a lot of stuff, but we're going to move on to our guest. Nick, you have been so polite. We really appreciate it, listening to me yap on for minutes on end, but it's finally time to introduce you. You are a Renaissance man of Legion. It doesn't quite cut it. It's more like a Renaissance plus Enlightenment man, because you've done so much. Is that you have been a TO, you've been a regional terrain guy, you've been a podcast host, and of course, you're a player. You've been known to win a tournament or two, including PAX Unplugged, the first American GT after the recent points changes to Anakin and Gar and all that other nasty stuff. So, with all
the rise of the sleeper cell.
Yeah, the rise of the sleeper cell. You kicked it off. It's your fault, some might say.
Maybe.
We are where we are.
What is it, like 6 of the top 8 at LVO had sleeper cells, right?
Yeah. What they say.
I mean, they're very good. Hello, everyone. I'm Nick, formerly co-host of Legion 99. All of that stuff Evan said. Happy to be on the show here today to talk about Legion and Legion adjacent things and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah, well, welcome. Thank you for being here. You are the esteemed first guest of the first season of season 4. Ooh, and, you know, part of why we wanted you to be here has to do with a little event that's coming up. But before we get to that, I'm wondering, you know, obviously, all of us now have had some time to look at the top 8, the top cuts for the Las Vegas Grand Tournament and the Invitational Series. Obviously, you're not surprised by the number of sleeper cells that were present
Well,
in those top lists, but I was curious if there was anything that surprised you, or is there anything that sort of struck you about it?
I mean, there's a little variety in those lists, which I think is cool, the rebel lists, but it does surprise me a little bit that people fell off the Gar wagon so quickly, because I still think they're really good and they're still a tough out. Like, I don't know. I think Dashes has something to say about
Well, so here's
that.
what I think. I think the sleeper cell and the rebel lists that use the sleeper cell are very intent on playing like two or three very specific objectives. Those objectives being gather intel, breakthrough, and like shifting priorities and or recover the research, right? And
Recover is
all,
very good for the rebel list.
yeah. And I think those with what I would say is finally a list that is very powerful at splitting. Before clones could sort of like get away with playing those objectives, because I think a lot of the lists in the meta were either not playing those objectives or they were kind of equally bad at them for the most part, or not that much better. But I
I
think
think Gar's
these
bad at most objectives.
That's fair. That's
I'm being
fair.
honest. I think, but they're so good at killing everything, so it's
Right. They're
irrelevant.
good at
It's
closing the pocket.
irrelevant. Yeah.
They're not
Yes, they're gonna
great
close the
at
pocket.
everything else.
When you're playing close the pocket or bunker assault, the objective is sort of agnostic because you're just throwing a hammer as hard as you can at your opponent. And it just happens that the objective is in the way, right? Whereas these split objectives, the game is very different. And I think one of the th things that I've noticed, and we're going to talk about the tournament I went to over the weekend, I think in a bit, but is that Republic units are costed as if they're being synergistic with each other. But when you're playing these split objectives, the synergy kind of goes away. And
I don't disagree with that at all.
yeah, so like all of a sudden, when your units don't have access to six reliable tokens, they have access to
Three.
two or three,
You
and you
don't
don't.
surge to defend anymore if the whole army is shooting at you.
So I think there's a conversation to be had there, maybe in the future. I don't know. I think that this is, to me, I don't know how you feel about this, Nick and Evan, but I feel like it's kind of a little bit of the turn zero dichotomy we had under the old kind of like ban system, but just kind of in a different way.
Which, to be fair, I think that a few months ago, when we were still in the zone where Gar was just sort of murdering everything, is that is the setting in which I wrote that article about how everything kind of feels like it's just all about the killing, and I think that we talked about that in the podcast a few times, and now that the huge menace of just like racking up kill points has been dulled down quite a bit, is that I do feel like we're actually seeing a little bit more of the game meeting its objectiveness potential. Jumble that up pretty bad, but I think it's meeting more of the potential of objectives feeling like they matter more, and that in and of itself actually may be sort of a bad thing for Gar as a faction right now.
Yeah, when you built your packs list, Nick, did you tailor it with those objectives in mind? Like, what was your approach there?
No, off the top of my head, I can't actually remember exactly what objectives I took. I know I took bunker assault and recover the research, and I think I took shifting priorities. I don't think I played shifting priorities at all, though. I like bunker assault because rebels always have a lot of characters and the special forces, so they can, blob up on one very quickly and throw a bunch of wounds on it. And I liked recover the research was always a really, I think I played against three Garlis in the 5-round Swiss, and I think two of the three of them I got to play Recover the Research, and that's just bad for 9 to 10 activation lists when you have 12.
when you just need to exist in order to score the objective.
Right. It's like I could like leave one sleeper cell on a far corner and it doesn't feel that bad. Like when you have three of them, it didn't feel that bad. For me, it was more like when I realized how good sleeper cells were, and like clearly they looked very good on paper before they came out, and I was like, these seem really overcooked. And then it was clear, it's like, okay, the answer is two or three of them. And I already was pretty high on Sabine and Han and Bad Batch going into the event, so everything else was filler. I liked the ATRTs in the list. I couldn't really fit three with everything I had going on, but the two was nice.
Were and they it brings lasers or flamers?
Lasers.
Yeah.
Lasers. This, you know, like getting to use them as like bait oftentimes. Like I played against a Tempest Force and as soon as I placed an ATRT, like round one, he put an ATST out to try and kill it. And then I was able to just murder the ATST with sleeper cells in round one. So,
That's not like the first person I've heard recounting about how sleeper cells can be like surprisingly strong.
If you let them shoot turn one, you're gonna have a bad time because they have two aims.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only time that should really happen is like breakthrough.
I agree with that.
If there's a Tempest player who is getting a little bit aggro with the scout moves, is that they could potentially be putting themselves in a spot. You know, they may be trying to set up for a round two like standby thingamajig, and then in doing so end up sort of exposing themselves a little bit. But yeah, 12 dice is 12 dice, 12 surging dice.
And I'll say that PAX was like the first big event with sleeper cells, I think, pretty much. So I don't know that you're bringing three anymore. Like, I think that like people have like woken up to them, obviously, and they see how good they are. So like, you're not going to catch people. Like, if you have three of them, it's probably too many at this point. It's probably one or two. If you're taking Sabine, you're me and you talked a little bit about Clan Ren as a possibility. I still think they're too expensive.
Yeah.
But you could have it in there if you wanted to fill up on special forces and have the order control, because that also helps. You know, if you have three special forces in your bag, you don't have to activate the sleeper cell first. You could do Clan Ren to just pass. We don't have just strike team filler anymore. So. Gotta find other ways.
Yep.
Here's a hot take.
Oh, finally.
I think the fact that sleeper cells are not an automatic 3x means that their points cost is fine.
I think their point cost is fine. I think that they should probably be black white on the pistol.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. You might be right, but it is rare indeed in either the FFG or AMG era for cards to be changed to downgrade a unit, is that the reaction to a unit being too good, if people make that estimation, has pretty much always been to increase points. The only major time I can think of to where a card was changed, and it wasn't even a unit card, was Rex's 2-pip was taken down a couple pegs. You said, well, our ARC Troopers, they went up in the cost with that one. They didn't change.
They lost the critical
card, though.
Didn't they lose the critical on the
card? Oh, you're right. Yeah. They lost the critical. You're right.
That's
you're
on the
right
upgrade that. Card. So you weren't wrong, technically, I guess.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view.
So far, that's right. That was a good quote and tie-in. They so far stayed away from actually making unit cards worse. They've definitely tried to make a couple unit cards better, sometimes more than once. IT-47.
We got to continue fighting you on this, Evan. I know you said you weren't around last week, but snipers used to be infinite range.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
boom. We got him again.
But wait, isn't
I don't think, was he around
that's
then,
also
though?
That's also the upgrade card, though. Because that's the heavy.
The upgrade card. Sure. Look, I'm just taking what I can.
We're splitting hairs here.
Yes. Yeah. And so I guess... Any other thoughts about LVO? Is that it seemed like CIS was also the one that seemed to be kind of hanging in there. I do realize that in the GT that the number two list was a Obi-Wan Triple Commando list, which part of that list strength, actually, when we talked about army splitting, is that Obi is one of the commanders that can take aggressive tactics, and it also happens to be a force user, although he did not have force push. But otherwise, it seems like Sis was showing up the second most generally, and then somewhere
They
out
didn't
there in the
allow crab
distance.
droids or aqua droids, right?
No, they
Oh,
were
great.
not
I didn't
legal
think
yet.
so. Okay, good.
And so like the top performing Sis list in the invitational was actually the was Jared Eater's Geonosian swarm list, which is a unit that we may be talking about a little bit later on. But yeah, crabs, aquas, that's going to be a new thing. We're going to be getting that to that in just a second. I do want to quickly give some thanks to, because I didn't do it a couple episodes ago. That was bad on me. I want to give some thanks to LJ for having given us some early stats for LVO before it came out so that we could do that podcast a couple episodes ago. And I think it is also worth shouting out Nima Ashjay and the other good folks who are doing the judging at LVO. I heard nothing but good things about how that went. And we are certainly going to be looking forward to that event, hopefully being the same size or even bigger next year. But an even bigger event than that, even bigger than LVO, is a little thing called Adepticon.
Adepticon
2025. Nick, you've been involved in Adepticon quite a bit in the past also, right?
Yep. I've provided terrain the last two years, this year too, so it'll be three. And yeah. I worked as a judge last year. I was part of the team last year, and I'm working again this year.
Yeah. So what's different about this year?
More events. I mean, with it going to an open format, the emphasis is on playing games and less being like heavy sweat fest. That's what I'll call it. I don't know.
Hey, no. But,
I mean, obviously, the world
y'all can make it
championship
what you
is
want it
still
to be.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
It went to a heat system Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
That way they can accommodate as many people as possible, essentially. That was the plan. There's also side events each day, so it's great. If you want to come, if you want to go to Adepticon and play Legion, but you don't want to play in the World Championships, you can absolutely play Legion every single day and not compete in the World Championships. And you'll still get prize tickets for the great prize wall.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't wait for that because, so much cool stuff last year on the prize wall. Probably more cool stuff this year. Can't, spoil anything because I don't know anything officially. But we keep hoping that AMG will release some teasers soon to help build the hype, but can't, make them move any faster than they want to. So.
I do think that, that will be helpful.
Yeah, that's we're all we all of us on the team are all kind of feeling the same way. Because shout out to Josh. He was a head judge for the GT at LVO. And he was TO last year at Worlds. He's TO for Gen Con. He's TO for all kinds of stuff. But he's TO in Worlds again. I believe LJ's head judge this year. Taking over from Josh was sort of head judge last year / TO. It was a little bit of a mess going into it. Won't get into that. But this year,
save
smooth
that for the
sailing.
After Dark podcast.
Subscribe to the Patreon, right?
I keep saying that when we're actually talking about something that we wouldn't talk about on an After Dark podcast because we don't have an After Dark podcast yet. If there's enough fan demand, then maybe we can make it happen. But
we used to, it was real popular. Yeah. But yeah, Worlds. Real excited about it. I'm working on more terrain because that's what I do.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
You're a machine.
More terrain. Yeah.
We're trained. I got this guy here. I finished painting earlier this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
You can see it.
That looks great.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter for Multiverse, most Gemra, I'm sure. That's kind of the way I really like the way the Kickstarters go lately with STL files. You get a lot, enough, way more than you need for one table, and you get it all in one shot, all themed up nice. So I'm
that,
real
that
excited
really
for
nice.
That.
I saw the detail on the walls there. There's blaster scorch marks and stuff. That's great.
Some of the buildings are actually open, so you can see inside, and they have parts you can print to put inside of them. So the ones that have openings, I'm actually going to print the interiors and put lights inside of them.
Oh,
So
that's cool.
that'll be cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's only a couple like that, but I'm pretty excited to at least have like a few like that on the table. That'll be sweet. I'm real excited about
Do you
that.
have an inside track on what the stream table is going to be by any chance?
Well, we usually change them like at least once a day.
Oh,
So I would expect like at least 4 to 6 different ones. And
Sweet.
usually, 'cause like, I have quite a lot of I use a lot of my muscle to like put stuff that I want to see on the stream table on stream. So you can bet that at least one or two of mine will be on stream. So
Awesome.
like 2 years ago when I set my terrain, but I played in the event and like I wasn't in charge, like LJ and then it was like LJ and Nerfly were in charge of that, and they put a lot of my stuff on stream. So, but like Adepticon has like some great looking terrain they're working on too, like a lot of new stuff. If you follow their Facebook page or anything like that, like they're posting updates pretty frequently. And I know a couple of the guys are going heading out to their storage facility this weekend to like go through terrain and sort stuff and like itemize everything to get ready for the event to see what else is needed at this point. So
That
it's
is
like,
so much work.
yeah, I mean it's like over 200 tables this year.
Jeez.
Yeah, because like all the side events and everything. Shatterpoint sold out, MCP sold out, Armada sold out. Legion like was a little slow to start. It's starting to pick up. We kind of figured after LVO people would start like, because like, the sales happened like, what is it, like a week or two before Adepticon or before LVO, and I think a lot of people were waiting to see. We're still hoping that like AMG can get like a preview out for some of the prizes, because that's like one of the big, that's a big deal, and that's a big driving factor for a lot of people. They want to make sure that
Absolutely.
there's stuff they want. One of the bummers with the GTs was that like it was the same prize as we got at Worlds. So it was like,
Which means that a lot of the cards were either already obsolete or were about to become obsolete.
the Reckless Diversion card that was
It
like,
just like
yeah, a
doesn't do
month
what it says
later.
anymore, really.
Yeah, it now says like you can't use backup here. Like, it happens. Hopefully, I gotta imagine that some like if they have cards on the wall this time, like they did last time, they probably are updated with like the new set of rules in mind. I'd have to think. Yeah, the new cards are slick. I actually like them.
I was a little bit hesitant on the full
I
size
like
you
the,
upgrade cards
yeah.
originally, but I don't
It's
hate
a
it.
little bit easier. You can put it all in like one size card box, and like I'm excited to have one day I'll get to like dump my card box out and like get rid of all the small upgrade cards.
Oh, I've already done
I've
it.
so it's
They're
funny.
history.
I played at my LGS last week, and it was the first time I've ever not packed cards. Like it was liberating.
I've been using printed PDFs ever
I
since
brought.
2.6 was revealed.
Yeah, me too. I don't have a great printer at home. I have a great 3D printer. I don't have a great paper printer. So the irony.
Irony.
I just like didn't bring cards. I just brought the Aqua Droid cards because they were new, so that my opponent could see. And it was like, yeah, they were something. But yeah, if you haven't signed up for Adepticon, do it. It's gonna be a blast. Like I had so much fun the last 2 years. Like I'm not even playing, I'm working. So, but I it's still my favorite thing. Like, and this is like the guy who ran PAX, and like it's the Adepticon's still my favorite. There's so much cool stuff. The new venue looks awesome. Like there's going to be so much to like do outside of that, like to like places to eat and walk to, and should be great. I can't wait.
Yep, I'm excited too. I'm gonna be there. We have actually a decent contingent of Fifth Troopers gonna be there, so
Mike, are you coming?
I'm leaning closer to yes every day, mainly because the peer pressure is really, really,
Yes.
you
Yeah,
guys are really,
Nick, I wasn't gonna do it, but I'm glad you did.
putting me to the
Yeah,
fire on this one.
I'm gonna put him on the spot right here. Come hang out with us. Come hang out with us. Jay's gonna be there. Other Evan's gonna be there. It's gonna be great. We're
Yeah,
gonna have a great
Matt
time.
Bronson's gonna be there, maybe
Yeah.
like murdering people in
And Shatter
Shatterpoint.
probably. Speaking of Shatterpoint, did you guys see that the new set that they that Oh man.
The you're talking about the
Sorry.
Ahsoka
Wait,
Vader.
Kit
Yeah.
Fisto or the Ahsoka Vader?
No,
So
oh my
I
God.
gotta
Oh
say,
man.
and maybe this was part of their original press release about it, and I just missed it. I did not realize it was a convention exclusive.
So that sets in a convention exclusive, but if you don't go to the convention, you will be able to, there will be some available to purchase online that weekend. And later on down the road, there is going to be like a retail pack with those two characters in it that you will be able to buy from your LGS or from the LARP store
Without the terrain
without the terrain, which for some people
is
is probably
actually a
better.
better deal,
Yeah, a lot of people.
probably.
It leaked a couple weeks ago because like
Yeah.
somebody posted it. It leaked on like Asmodee France and like it was posted in my local server for Shatterpoint. And like they were like, a couple people were like, oh, it's going to be so expensive because of the terrain. Blah,
Yeah.
blah, blah. And it's like, oh, and I only want the one character out of it. And I'm in the same boat. Like, I won't probably won't play Vader, but like, I'll still, but like, I'm a hobby guy. So I'm like foaming at the mouth to get that set.
It looks great. I mean, all the
Oh, yeah.
Shatterpoint stuff is beautiful. Like that, there's just, I'm
Yeah.
not sure there's a single model they've made for Shatterpoint that looks bad, you know, like
No, I think you're right about that.
and so I mean, yeah, I was surprised when I actually read it on Instagram today. It was like, this is a convention exclusive, and I was like, whoa, that I found a little surprising.
I was upset, and then I read the article, and like it's the like the Facebook comments were like, "This is sorry for swearing," but like
I'll bleep it.
everybody was
Thanks,
upset,
Mike.
and then people are like, "Hey, read the article, read the article, read the article," because like it's not actually, it's a convention exclusive for now, sort of, kind of, yes,
Yeah.
but you'll be able to get it, like you'll be able to get the models and the cards eventually, so.
I was just surprised that they're doing another dual pack that has Darth Vader again,
Yeah, everybody's mad about that.
because I mean, I don't
I
know
mean,
if
let's
for
be
those of
real
you who aren't
here.
keeping track, this is the third
Vader's the
Vader
main character
already.
of Star Wars.
Vader, I mean, Anakin
Vader,
Skywalker.
Anakin
Yeah,
Skywalker is the main character of
absolutely,
Star Wars.
right? And I
They.
mean, look, if you're gonna do a really cool duel in Star Wars, like
That's one of them.
80% of the cool duels in Star Wars have Anakin or Darth Vader in them, right? Like, let's be real.
I'm just excited for the I Am a Jedi dual pack, which is going to be the Return of the Jedi fight with the like Death Star 2 diorama in the back so that we can get Darth Vader version number 4 for some reason.
That also comes with like a good guy character. So if you don't play like the rebel characters, like too
Right.
bad. I guess you gotta own it now. Oh gosh. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about Adepticon, and I can't stress enough about just like how good a time it is. And if you do play other games, then it probably exists there,
Oh yeah,
and
100%.
you're gonna be able to. I feel like it's for certain games, it's like the one actual tournament for that game that's held like any given year.
So last year I noticed I used to play Imperial Assault Skirmish a lot, and they like when it like died, sort of, like people started like a continuity project like they've done with Armada now and like X-Wing's doing it, and it's like that's what happens. And like they actually hold a tournament for the continuity project and a tournament for the classic skirmish, like last year they did at least. I thought that was awesome. Like they actually
Yeah,
had
that's
both. Like
awesome.
you could play both if you wanted, or just one. Like it just kind of goes to show you like the breadth of things that like they have. And this one's going to be so much bigger because they have so much more space and it's all going to be in one place. Like Armada was like across the street at a hotel,
That's
and
right.
it's not this year, so that's great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that, Nick. And speaking of Adepticon and things that are going to be there, I think it's probably safe to say that a certain unit called the Aqua Droid is going to be there. And Mike, you revealed to us late in the game, going out to this podcast, that you've actually already played in a tournament with the Aqua Droids, and you had a pretty good experience. Why don't you tell us about it?
So I went out to Critical Hit Games this weekend, and I brought Separatists mainly because I wanted to play Aquas. I only played one Aqua because my store only got one Aqua. I don't think that's
I
an
was wondering why you only had
Asmodee
one.
issue.
Well,
I think that
I
was
don't
more of
know.
a,
My store only got two, and I took both of
well,
them.
Topic for
mean
another
man.
day, but Legion hasn't been selling too hot at my store at the moment. Hashtag minis in memoriam. And
That was a good teaser.
Oh no.
so I think they've kind of been maybe not ordering as much product as they normally would. So they only had one, and I bought it because I was like, that the models just they actually look way cooler in person than they do in the screenshots and stuff, and they already looked
They
very
look great.
cool. They're beautiful models. Really can't say enough good about them. They were a little difficult to assemble, but whatever.
Feet, feet,
The
feet.
feet were
Stop
very
it with
tough.
the feet. Make the
The
feet
feet were
easier.
rough.
The feet, it wasn't so much that the feet were hard to assemble. It was really hard to tell which way
How they were supposed to
the
go. Yeah,
leg
exactly.
went into the foot
I
joint, and
think
it
BXs
exactly.
were the same thing, basically. Like, I had the same issue. It's like, guys, let's do something about these feet. Like, make them, like, let's make this easier somehow for us dummies
I
who
mean, it would have been good
aren't
if it was just like
don't want to spend 2 hours on one model.
if it was just more clear on the picture, frankly. Like th I think that was all it really needed. Anyways, beautiful models. They ended up going together just fine. Prime them and stuff. I bought them on Thursday. Tournament was on Saturday, so they didn't quite have a full suit of paint as we got out to the tournament. I played in Rebels fashion. I decided to play a 13 activation list.
I saw.
Good call. Good call.
I saw the list. I was
Built
like,
a
you are a criminal.
yes, yes I am. I'm just gonna go through it very quickly because it's a lot of stuff that sounds like it shouldn't all fit in the list.
No, it
It
shouldn't.
is Dooku fully loaded with Force Push, Burst of Speed, Choke, Aggressive Tactics. Kalani with Environmental Gear because I had 3 points
Few
left
points,
over. Yeah.
yeah.
Maul with Burst of Speed. Saber throw tenacity into the fray. Three naked B1s, two naked Geos, Maul's probe droids with a comms relay, three droid echoes, and an aqua squad with the heavy weapon rounded out the 13.
All right.
Originally in my original proxies, Kalani was the second aqua squad. Since I didn't have a second aqua squad, I put Kalani in. In retrospect, I actually think that that was maybe the right decision.
Bonnie's
Even
really good.
Kalani's excellent, and he actually fixed some things that I had problems with when I was proxying the list. Suffice to say, this list is a line of sight blocking monster.
I
I
could see
don't know
that.
how many people read Mr. Evan here's article on line of sight blocking with Dooku with Aqua Droids, but it is just as gross as you may think. There are two things that I did with the aquas that I want to talk about today that were exceptionally fun. The first was my opponent charged my aquas with Anakin on turn one. We were playing Breakthrough.
Oh no. Oh no.
Dooku had not been placed on the table yet.
Oh my God.
So I
Oh
popped Burst of
no.
Speed to get in behind the aquas. I force pushed Anakin through the wall of aquas so that he was behind my aquas, but the rest of his army couldn't see anything.
It should be illegal.
Yes, I hit him with Dooku's lightsaber, did five wounds. Really stellar. But he's in melee
Anakin
with
deserves it.
Dooku. Anakin deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He's in melee with Dooku. He's not dead yet that turn, but obviously I have fear, surprise, and intimidation, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that I wasn't just going to kill Anakin with Dooku. What I was going to do was, even though Dooku was immobilized, what I was going to do is I was going to force push Anakin through the Aqua Wall. I was then going to move Dooku across the Aqua Wall, killing Anakin with his lightsaber, and then
And zapping clones.
zapping something else.
Yeah.
And then Dooku got to move back behind the aqua wall.
Oh my God, that's stupid.
Aqua wall.
The aqua wall. It felt really dirty.
Yeah.
So dirty. So suffice to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you are playing against aqua droids and your opponent has Dooku, which they probably should, don't charge them. with a melee threat because you will get eaten alive.
That would feel especially rough with Anakin because on average, I mean, like, you know, he's probably gonna kill, he's certainly gonna kill a mini of the Aqua Droid
He
set if he
only can
charges
ever
it.
kill one.
But that's the thing, is that is rough if, like,
Imagine
after
having
that.
repair droids and just bringing them back.
Oh my God, it's even worse.
Thankfully,
That's
the
what I
repair
did.
droids are a little bit more expensive
Yeah,
nowadays.
they were sharp to increase the
It'd
cost
be
of those repair droids.
a shame if you could only take 11 activations in that list or something
Right?
like
Yeah.
that. I played them too. Not exactly with Dooku, but
Yeah, what did you play him with?
it was a more for fun list. It was but I did have two Aquas because I wanted to play all the Aquas that I painted. It was two Aquas, three B2s with ACMs, three B1s with PKs, two Magnas with whips, and Kalani. It was 11, I believe it was 11 activations, I think. Yeah, I think it was 11 activations. I'm probably missing something else in there.
Those are very meaty with those PKs.
Yes. Unfortunately, my opponent, and like in hindsight, he plays the same thing most of the time. He was playing double ATST, triple E-Web, Veers with bombardment and stuff. So it was like I lost Aqua Droids very quickly because like
Okay.
once I placed them, like the ATSTs came out and were like, "Hey, here's impact at range four, and you just
Sure.
die." So it
Yeah.
was like, you know, like the PKs are very good at bringing them back slowly. Like it's three PKs is still only like two Aqua models total, and when the
Yeah.
ATSTs just like ripped like, you know, three off the table turn one, it was like, well, they're not gonna last very long. But I set like one Aqua up like in the middle of the table. We were playing Breakthrough, and I set the other one up on the like the little hook to go after his point, and I put
Yeah.
a bunch of B2s and like a B1 behind it. And that flank worked really well, very quickly, and just melted everything on that side while the ATSTs like shot at the one Aqua and the Magnas that were near the middle with Kalani, and
Yeah.
he just ran out of stuff, and I like immediately took over his point, so like it was going to be like near impossible for him to come back from that. Also, Krennic's suppression card is crazy. Three suppression round five,
Yes.
like
That's
it's
pretty good.
nuts. It's
It's
nuts.
pretty good.
Yeah, it's something that I've been dealing with a lot lately in my local store. So,
Sure,
but
I get
yeah,
that.
Aquas, they seem good. They seem good. I can't wait to try. I'm looking forward to trying crabs with Geonosians and giving them scout so they can move four times turn
Oh
one. That
yeah.
seems fun. That seems fun.
My issue with crabs is that they're not droidekas. I actually think we talked about Supercell like maybe needing a points increase before. I actually think droidekas might need it more than
I agree. I think they
Supercell.
went a little bit slightly too far. Like, I'm glad the Dekas are sort of finally relevant.
I'm glad that if that's true. I'm sort of like in my own corner over there, like not really like, you know, not podcasting and going to a lot of events anymore. Like,
Oh, they're
I
so
don't,
good. Droidekas are
yeah,
cracked. It's how cheap they are.
What are, how many points are they now?
They're
Sixty.
60.
6-0,
Weren't they
Nick.
like
They were
110 when they
100
came out?
points. They're down 40%
And not only
from
that,
where they started.
but they're also in a situation where their biggest issue before, they had a couple issues. The first was AI, which basically is
Yeah, it
non-existent.
doesn't
Yeah, it
matter
doesn't
anymore.
matter. And their second issue was that they generally needed extra tokens, which now the Separatists have a bunch of exemplar batteries. It's much easier to give them,
Yeah, you
right?
don't have to specifically find a way to get them tokens via some crazy order chaining and LTA or whatever, is that you can just have your regular old T series hang out in the back and do a dodge bolster, aim bolster, whatever. And then you have those surges or aims or dodges or whatever, like when you need it. And you don't have to worry about like spending multiple points to kit out your Dekas to actually get them the tokens that they need. So it is a huge advantage to have Exemplar. Huge.
Yeah, I'm actually glad we're talking about Dekas because this brings me to the second point that I wanted to talk about
Okay,
with
perfect.
Aquas. So my last round opponent at this tournament was playing like Oops All Snipers Republic. And so my battle plan was just to LOS block my army, right? And so I set up a droidecker wall, right? And he starts shooting the droidecker wall, right? And with Republic snipers, you're plinking the shields down, then you're doing like a couple wounds to the droidekas, etc. Have you guys seen The Hunt for the Red October?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All
Totally.
right. I want to make some nautical references with these nautical droids. I
I'm all
call it
about this.
SeaWorld. I call it SeaWorld.
Yeah. So the droidekas are like in the thick of it. They're about to lose my first model, right? The snipers have plinked them down like three or four shots. All the shields are gone. They've got two wounds on a droideka, so the unit's got four health left. It's like the scene where the Red October is getting kind of like torpedo shot at it by the Russian submarine, right? And they're kind of the Red October's taking some damage already, and things are not going too hot. The torpedo's incoming, the sniper's about to get placed on the board, and like all of a sudden, the Aquas or the USS Dallas swoops in between the torpedo and the target, and they're like, "Go Dallas!"
That's
That's what the
right.
Aqua droids are, man. As soon as I was about to lose a model, I was like, "Boom! Here's a big wall of Aquas. You can't kill anything anymore."
Which is crazy because even though there have obviously been units that do line of sight blocking before, is that there hasn't been anything along the lines of Aquas to where it is a wall that you can shape the way that you want to shape it, because of like the cohesion rules and how that works, is that, but I think up until now, like LOS blocking with vehicles was a little bit awkward, and that you could like deploy to get it done, but then once the game sort of got into the middle of it, is that stuff started kind of melting away. But now that you can shape with cohesion, is that you can make that wall whatever you want it to, and they're pretty tall. So the idea that you're shielding a Deka with a different vehicle is something that, like, I don't think I ever would have imagined would be a thing that we did in this game.
No, and the dirtiest thing about it is that now in this new version of Legion is like, okay, guess what? So you lost an Aqua model. That sucks. I'm just gonna fill the hole with a Deka because they can walk through each
That's so crazy.
other.
And then, and the great thing about them is that even once you're past the point of line of sight really mattering much, is that is a for 65 points, it's an extremely beefy unit that will exist until someone tries to shoot it down with the armor two against every single shot. So it's like what the rebel troopers will do in a 13-act rebel list, where they'll hang out on the corner of recover the research and just like, double move or move dodge and continue existing with nimble until somebody pours enough firepower into a like fairly crappy 40 point unit that's 65 points this time, but it's even more firepower you have to pour into it in order to get rid of it. And that counts for a lot with the way the game is now.
100%. Not only that, but oftentimes you're like, okay, I lost like an Aqua model or two, and then
Yeah.
like Dooku and Maul go charging through the Aqua wall, right? Complete, and they're completely fine because they've been sitting behind the Aqua wall. And now, like, yeah, you could shoot the Aquas, but that means you're not killing the Sith that are in your face, right? So you're like, okay, I kind of have to kill Dooku now, otherwise he's gonna eat me alive, which means the Aquas are just sitting there doing their thing. I actually found the heavy weapon on them to be very good. That pool, I think I definitely was rolling kind of hot with it, I think, but it was like, I don't know. I think the pool's average is five.
Yeah, it's good.
For a unit that is really priced super
You're talking about the
efficiently
heavy, right?
with the heavy, yeah. Yeah, I think the average without an aim token is five. I mean, that's like pretty close to a clone commando unit, and not a clone commando, an
I
arc
was gonna
unit
say it's more than
with no
right.
aims, right?
Yeah.
And they're cheaper, questionably, probably way more efficient. I mean, they're definitely more efficient from
I
a
think they're more
like
efficient, yeah.
raw hits perspective, defensively. Obviously they don't have red saves, but they stick around a lot longer
They're
than.
always bouncing two hits off because of the armor.
Yeah, I will say in that last game I played, yes, on Saturday, I had a naked B1 squad rip a rip a six white die shot into a arc unit in heavy cover, and they killed three models.
Oops.
My opponent was not happy.
No.
Well, that is I mean that like hearing about aquas is both cool and terrifying. Kind of like the ocean itself, you might say. It's cool and terrifying.
Yeah, and I suspect we have no idea
Yeah,
what's underneath as
there's still
far
more
as
lurking.
yes.
Yeah. Let's see how many more puns we can work in here. Yeah, I'm gonna get to try them this week. I'm also gonna get to try out some crab droids. I'm planning on giving some scout ones to Magna Guards. So we're gonna see how that works alongside Mr. Dooku. So we'll be talking more about that next week. For now, though, is that we're going to play a little game. It's a game called Try By Trash 2.0. You all might remember a game called this that Jay and Evan Bolaris would mess around with all the time on the Fifth Trooper podcast. This is a little bit different, is that we're trying to be a little bit more of an educational or a little bit more infotainment when it comes to try by trash, is that we're going to be talking about super squads, which has been a topic of much debate ever since the 2.6 rules came out. Is that we're going to be going through all the super squads, and we're each of us, we haven't told each other what our opinions are, so there may be some fun surprises here. Is that each of us are going to share at the same time of what our opinion is. So that's either buy, where we love it, we love the super squad on this unit, try, which means I like it sometimes. There may be certain situations where it's good, but I wouldn't stack them into my army. And then trash, which means trash, as you might guess. And just a reminder, before anybody gets mad, our opinions are just our opinions. If we do say that a super squad is trash, now, Mike, I have to say this, is that like
We're all right and you're all wrong. Our
yeah,
opinions
so
are
that
the
is the
correct
important
ones.
thing. Thank you, Nick, is that our opinions are incontrovertible.
That's right.
But at the same time, is that if you're a super fan of this unit, tell us why we're wrong in the comments. And also, if you are a lover of that unit, then I promise we're not reflecting on your skill or choices as a player. So I just want to get that out of the way. I'm going to stop saying that as we
But
go through these
maybe
podcasts.
rethink your choices.
Yeah. Hey, that's just a light suggestion. Maybe you rethink the choices. And I think that as we go through this, is that, I think some of our individual like thoughts about what the value of a super squad is probably going to come up. We could I'm going to channel Kyle a little bit here, is that you could do a whole podcast about sort of the what you want to try to get out of a super squad. But here I think we're just going to sort of cover the individual ones to think about what each of them means to us. So any questions from you guys before we get into it?
Ah,
Nope. All
let's
right.
let's do it.
Let's cast some judgment. So we are going to start out with the Imperial units. So again, we're just going to go one by one. Is that we're going to start with the classic Imperial unit, the one that came out in that original core set, which unfortunately is now sold out at Asmodee. So
Rip.
the yeah, RIP. The Stormtrooper Super Squad. Are you guys team try, team buy, team trash? 3, 2, 1. We all have our little signs. Very
Mine's
professional
backwards
here.
because I didn't think about the
No, it's not backwards. It's through the
it's
magic
only yeah
of
okay
computers, is that we can actually see it the right way.
good
All right,
good good
so
good
I am a trash. The other two are in the try category.
me and Mike are right obviously
So Nick, why are you a try? What situation where you want to try at Stormtrooper Supers?
it's interesting with the RT-97C. I've seen that a lot in my local that the four dice heavy at range four. At range three, it throws a ton of dice and it can get really silly really quickly. I don't think it's something that like you would want to focus on. But it's interesting. Like it's fun. Yeah, I don't know. I don't there's
You
It's
like
okay.
the RT97 as a use case is basically what you're saying. You get a big
Yeah,
pool.
because this
And
is a large amount of dice. If you want to
Mike, what
chuck
about
a
you?
large amount of dice, you get to do that.
Yeah.
I think before it's I think the keyword is precise, right? They've got precise one. I think before that keyword didn't matter a ton, and I think that you can actually, I think there's a case to be made to take like a super squad with targeting scopes and like feed them AIM tokens, and all of a sudden you're like rerolling four dice at a time. I also think that the Imperial units, super squads, which will probably be reflected in my other ones, benefit from new ways to motivate them in a way that the other super squads do not, or
Yeah,
ruthless,
that's fair.
of which they have, either through Gideon or Vader. They have some intricate things that they can do there, where all of a sudden, like, you can have a super squad like move shoot, which could be very, very powerful. So I don't think, to be clear, I don't think this unit is excellent. I don't think it's
Well, that's why
I
you said try. It's all right. We get it.
yeah I yeah
Yeah, none of us said bye. I think I see what you guys are getting at. I think that it's with the unit that we're about to talk about that I saw a little bit more potential with what you guys just said, but I can definitely see the reasoning. I think that as a cast, we can safely label Stormtroopers a try. Speaking of Imperial troopers, let's move on to their cousins, the Snow Troopers. What do you guys think about Snow Trooper Super Squads? 3, 2, 1. Yeah. All right. So Mike and I are a try. And Nick, you're the buy. So I'm gonna go to you first again. Why are they a buy to you?
Because flamethrowers, new ways to motivate them.
Okay. Yep.
Getting in there, range one with a grenade. It's
Yep.
good. It's good.
No arguments
Are
there.
you like, how many armies are running more than two of them? Like, even Blizzard Force probably isn't running two. I think you should buy a couple more boxes if you can find them. I don't know how hard they are to find. Sorry. But
Blizzard Force is tough to find.
yeah, double up on them. Take two. They're fun. Worth
And
the
yeah.
points.
Totally agree on that. Flamethrowers, new ways. You can
Steady. They're just
steady.
kind of
You
like.
can still toss a frag. You don't get the value out of frags that you used to.
Right.
But or an impact is still going to be plenty good on those. But yeah, Mike, anything additional about snows?
I think snows, the only thing that snows are being held back by is the fact that they're speed one.
Yeah.
I think they would, if this was a speed two unit, I would be totally in the buy
Well, I think it would
category.
be a
Not
problem if it was a speed two
a
unit,
hundred
because
percent, a
steady
hundred
out of
percent. I'm
four.
not,
You can
but
give
I,
it spur one turn on Blizzard
yeah,
Force.
you can. And
Yeah.
I think that that's probably the best case scenario for it.
Yeah.
I do think that this unit can have some issues with suppression and,
Yeah, that's fair.
you know,
Which does get a little easier with the Super Squad, so you get Indomitable. But it
Krennic's
doesn't
got
get as
much
easy.
better too.
Yeah, that's
Krennic's much
true.
better than he was, and like
Yeah, you get
Compel's
the
really good.
compel. And DTF16 is also
And
actually pretty
they
efficient.
have Indomitable when they rally, so it's
Yeah.
like it all kind of works out for them, I think.
They do. I think if super squads give you courage too, I would feel much better about
Right.
it.
I think the
Yeah.
Super Squad should give you like an additional like something. Like it would have been cool if the Stormtrooper one brought like precise too, like an
I
additional
actually
precise.
think one of the bigger
Like
problems in general with the super squads is that they do not bring the inherent keywords
yeah.
of their parent unit. We'll obviously get to this farther on down the line, but like the clone super squad should definitely have a reliable one on it. I don't know why it doesn't.
I think I'm with you there. So I put this as a try, and I think the main reason I put it as a try is that like I think that super unit makes a lot of sense. I would probably only put one of those super units in a list generally, because I would be less confident that I would be able to sort of get the angle to where I could get value out of two. But to close out the Imperial cores, we got Short Troopers. So, what do you think about Short Trooper Super Squads? 3, 2, 1. We got, do we have our first triple trash?
I don't know. Do we?
Did he, is that your trash, Riot Control?
I
Was
mean,
my
aren't those things the same?
Wow.
Well done. Well done.
Controversial. You know,
Well
Mike
done.
surprising us with a little bit of a cheeky sign that he made. So Riot Control equals trash. But yes, so we have our first
Can I
triple
say,
trash.
I considered putting the gavel on my trash one because I hate it
Oh
so
man.
much.
We would have triggered a
You would
few
get, oh
listeners
yeah.
with that one.
Hey man, you know, any, what is it? Any publicity is good publicity, right?
There you go. There you go.
That's sometimes true. So with short troopers, I just want to shout out that the base cost of a short trooper is 52 points. The super squad is 70 points, which means that short troopers are one of the few super squads in the game to where per mini, you are actually paying more per mini in points for the super squad than you paid for the base squad. And like that's already a bad deal. And then to make it worse is that I can't think of any kind of a real use case for
I
a
mean,
super squad with shores.
long shot with
Oh,
like a
stop.
million dice is
Oh,
funny.
stop. A million
Right?
unmodded,
Yeah, I know. No
mostly
surges. It's
unmodded dice.
terrible. Yeah, it's
Yeah, it's
terrible.
rough.
It's bad. I mean, like, sit at range for an aim, exemplar aim, you can reroll a couple. I don't know. It's bad. That's why I said trash. I don't think there's ever a case where you'd take this one.
Nope.
I mean, I do think that this is more, this is not, I mean, don't get me wrong, the super squad compounds the issue,
Yeah.
but I wouldn't tell anyone to take a short trooper squad without the super squad. Like,
Yeah, I don't think they're good
you
anymore.
know,
It gives you access to a high activation Empire list that honestly pales in comparison to the high activation Rebel list if you want to go like full
or
short,
even.
full mortar, but then you shouldn't be taking supers anyway if you're doing that.
Yeah, no. I just the fact that they don't have target, the fact that they're speed one, get them out of
Yeah.
here. Trash.
All right, so we basically, I think the average is basically try for storms, try for snows, trash for shores. So that rounds up the Empire. Next, we got Rebels. This is the biggest category by far. They have five units to cover. I think maybe since we're on a sort of similar topic, is that let's cover veterans. What do we think about Rebel veteran super squads? 3, 2, 1. All right, so we have Mike, I couldn't quite see is like what was your riot control? Okay, cool. I think we're all of the same mind. Mike, would you like to tell us why we all agree that Rebel veteran super squads are total trash?
I mean, it's the same reason for the
Yeah.
shores. Like,
Yeah.
it's just foundationally the vets are a bad unit.
It's
They're doubling down on it. The super squad is also more expensive than the base unit
Yep. It's the same deal with MS
for
Shores.
some crazy reason. You know,
None of
I'm,
us know why.
you know, I it just like for that to even make sense to like lose a scoring activation, like the only benefit to having a super squad in that instance is to be able to throw your dice all at the same time as opposed to separately,
Yeah.
which only matters from a tempo perspective in
Right.
it in this game because cover scales now. So and you lose an activation and all this other stuff. Yeah, that's a
Yeah. Nick, anything to add to that?
No, I mean white saves. White like
It's
no.
white saves.
Yeah,
I
no.
think that like the veterans are even worse of a buy than shores are because you lose out on if you have two units instead is that you gain more out of having low profile on two separate units versus having one big target to shoot at. Also, if you buy a super squad, then depending on your list, but it probably means that you're not buying a Mark II, which is what you should have like, which costs less and what you should have been spending that money on in the first place. Like I wrote the unit guide for Rebel Vets and I try to make my point is that Mark IIs are substantially even a better buy than even like getting the heavy on a standard squad of Rebel veterans and that in a certain from a certain point of view and this has actually been backed up by tournament performance, is that the function of veterans is to enable the fact that you can start spamming Mark IIs in your list, which is a weird place compared to where things were like 3 years ago
Yeah, I
when.
hate it, but I don't disagree.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting that with both shores and vets, you get less dodge tokens for taking the super squads
Yep,
because
exactly.
you get prepared positions only triggers once per squad. You know, it's not a stacking keyword per
Yep.
se, but like it kind of is, you know.
Yeah.
So
So yeah, vets and shores are possibly our two trashiest picks out of all of these, but let's move on to something that's going to be a little bit more attractive. Is that let's go with rebel troopers, just the standard old rebel trooper. This was maybe my toughest one to come up with a judgment for, but why don't we see what other people think? 3, 2, 1. Yep. Oh, okay. So, Mike and I continue to be doubters for this one. I think that's probably going to change for the next few of them. But Nick, you are the rebel guy among us for sure. So tell us why rebel troopers are a try for you.
I grabbed the wrong sign. You couldn't see my face. I grabbed the wrong sign. They're bad. I've tried them. They're not good. There's no reason to take them other than like if you want to bring a ton of bodies extra. I don't like you don't get agile too. Like just
Exactly.
take a naked rebel trooper. Naked rebel troopers are actually pretty decent now, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's Why make a big, why put a big target on something? Like I've
Totally
tried them a
agree.
few times. It's like you're just putting a bigger, because like people just focus on these big squads when they see one of them, like, oh, you've got one big squad. I need to focus that down because it's more dice. And it's like they don't get any extra defense. So same issue with the vets.
The key to winning games is not putting more white saves behind fewer dodge tokens.
I think they're
Last I
like,
heard.
I think they're slightly less trashy than Rebel Vets, but like it's still pretty bad. It's like it's still pretty bad.
Well, and I think the biggest thing, and since we're kind of like in the thick of the Rebel core units, is that Rebels just have a lot of other things that they'd like to spend points on.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
that's
just want
true.
to pad activations. You want to like have activations, not less. Like you want to be at like 12 or 13.
And all of them are not in the core slot. Like,
Unfortunately.
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yep. All right. Well, to finish out the traditional Rebel Corps is that we have the famously stylishly helmeted Rebel Fleet Troopers. This is one that probably generated the most conversation out of any of these super squads when 2.6 was first revealed, just because so much of the unit was changed. But yeah, for Fleet Troopers, try, buy, or trash. 3, 2, 1. Oh, okay.
It's
So
tough. They're slightly less trashy than Rebel Troopers. We're just like just
like
going up a little bit each time.
I'm a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I figured.
I'm definitely of the opinion that they have been big time oversold in terms of their value, like big time. That said, is that at least from my point of view, I did see the potential value in having one super squad as a tempo piece. I think that like the value of a tempo piece goes down the more squads you're trying to squeeze in there, because then it's less likely they'll actually be able to get a tempo advantage. But at the end of the day, it's still white saves. They're still quite likely to be suppressed because they make for a big target. But I don't know. You guys seemed pretty quick on the draw for the trash, so I don't know if there's anything I'm not covering here.
I mean, if you're going to take a tempo piece that throws a lot of dice, just take Sleeper Cell.
Yeah.
Fair.
These guys on this thing, take these guys.
Take
Take
those
those
guys.
guys. You know, I just,
Take those guys.
does a fleet unit throw more dice than a Sleeper Cell unit, technically? Yeah, sure. Does.
The big one, yeah, but it's more points and it's worse dice.
It's
And
worse
they don't,
dice.
yeah.
It's less
No
consistent because
aims.
they don't have the aim tokens.
Yeah,
They
they have
have
tactical.
no defensive shenanigans with Nibble and the Astromech. It's a worse
Their
unit.
courage one,
Yeah.
which does still matter. Like indomitable doesn't mean, like I played Wookiees for a long time. I promise you all, indomitable does not mean that you're never suppressed.
100%. I do like fleets in general now. Like, I think you can take fleets instead of rebel troopers and be fine. They serve, they're like the same cost and they do a slightly different thing. And it's like if they're shooting at them, they're not shooting at something else. And it's like, okay, these are cheap. You can kill them. But
Naked fleets are quite efficient, and they have a role to play of being able of a core that has charge, which is not easy to come by. And they're a thing. But yeah, the super squads, yeah, I think that I was willing to give it a try, but I'm very convinced by you guys. I think we can label it a trash. So moving on to the Ewok zone. So this is the first time that the super squad is a little bit different, is that before, like all the ones that we've talked about have been adding five minis to a base four squad, and this one adds four minis to a base six squad. I'd be curious about how they ended up coming up with the math for that one. But we'll start with skirmishers, which is the core melee unit. So for Ewok skirmishers, are you try, buy, or trash? 3, 2, 1. Okay, so Mike, I think Nick and I looks like we're both sort of on the try side, unless you use the wrong one again,
Oh,
Nick.
I used the right one.
Okay, so Mike, why are you in the trash zone for skirmishers?
I am in the trash zone for skirmishers because if you're doing the super squads, that means you're playing the Ewok Battle Force because the super squads,
I agree with that.
the Ewok super squads really do not have a place in the Rebel list because there's just like much better things you can do. And the fact of the matter is that the Ewok Battle Force is built foundationally more so than possibly any other list in Legion right now on defensive efficiency and for the points that you're putting in. And the super squad doesn't actually help with that. It actually makes your list less efficient.
That's true.
That's not to say that you can't like crack in there with a big Ewok squad and have it feel good, but yeah, the fact that you get less models for more points, it's just, I don't know. I'm not about it. I think it's not good.
I think it's interesting if you want to meme around a little bit, like if you want to have fun. I feel like they're the reason that like it's like you can only bring four extra guys is because like cohering Ewoks is hard sometimes because like they want to be close together. Like I played Brightree, they want to be close together, and like cohering all of those minis is already hard. Like in like I haven't played Brightree in the new rules, but in the old rules it was hard. And I imagine even with the range one thing, having that many Ewoks on the table is going to be like really difficult to like manage.
And yeah, we're gonna get to a unit where where AMG said, screw that, we're gonna put even more minis. Yeah, we're gonna get to that one in a second. But I do agree with you there. I think the reason I put try is because I have seen a couple of successful lists that basically choose to eschew Chewie the AT-ST, which means that if you're spending 1,000 points, is like the way that they do it was that they double up on like two or three of their six core slots, and then all three of the skirmishers. So you just end up with just like a mountain of Ewoks, and so like if you're already like maxed out on minis and you're just trying to get some more Ewoks in there, then it is cheap. It's these Ewok examples are, I think, the only two ones to where the super squad is cheaper than the full squad, and you do get less minis, it's true, but I think that there's a role. So speaking of Ewoks, the Slingers, the only special forces that has a super squad, as far as Slingers go, are you try, buy, or trash? 3, 2, 1. Oh,
You're
yep.
upside down there,
So
Evan.
I might have said down. All right,
Yep.
that's really good podcasting right there. Wow. Okay, so we were
Podcasting's an audio for medium anyway, so don't worry about it.
we're on. Oh, sorry, you're right. That was really good videoing. Thank you for the correction, Nick. This is interesting because all three of us have different opinions about this one. I will save mine for last again. But Nick, you seem like the reasoned one between the two of us. So why are they a try to you?
I feel similarly with the skirmishers. If you want to like bring a couple of like loaded ones, do it. And like, I mean, these are the ranged ones, so they're like a lot more interesting. And it's just like, hey, can I throw a pile of dice at you? I don't know. I mean, like, I like what they were trying to do with these. They're not for everybody. I don't think they're for like, you know, high level, highbrow competitive play and stuff like that. But
Well, I might be wrong, but I think that the winning list at the LVOIS did have a squad with the super attachment on it.
okay.
And so that is why I'm in the buy zone, is because the typical use case that I see is
Peer
that
pressure.
it's peer pressure, obviously, is that you get 10 minis with low profile, you get all the dice, and they're not the most amazing dice in the world, but it's a pretty good value for what you get for the whole unit. To have a ranged attacker that is pretty annoying and does like take effort to kill, is that it ends up not being all that much more expensive than like a B1 squad with a heavy, but it has more units and it's significantly harder to kill than a B1
That's
squad
fair.
with a heavy. And so basically, I was thinking buy because of just the value. I don't think you should be cram you shouldn't be taking allies of convenience so that you can like cram two Ewoks selling your super
What?
squads into your list. But I think that the setup of having like two sleepers and then one slinger, where you don't have to, if you draw your special forces token early in round one, is that you can send that bad boy out there and not really worry too much about losing a ton of value, is that it can just sort of get set up. So that's where I am. But Mike, you
In
are
the
not a
trash,
fan.
so
Tell us about it.
I mean, it's most of the same reasons we've outlined for other units before, but specifically Ewoks. Again, I think that this is you're not really hitting the efficiency marks. You're also adding more dice that are actually less good than the original set of dice. The original set of dice had six black dice that had a surge token attached to them. You're getting four more dice that are effectively non-surging.
Still has one surge token, exactly,
Still has
yeah.
one surge token, and you're also at the point where you're adding enough dice to the pool where you're actually likely to need more than one surge token. Additionally, not that I think you're giving these guys orders all that often, but you're not doubling down on target. You're not doubling down on low profile. I'm not a huge fan of it. I definitely can maybe see its place as a one of, but I don't think this is like a don't go out of your way to collect this unit. If the thing is, if you have Ewoks, you're gonna be able to field a 1x super squad of this anyways, because you're gonna have two slingers. I don't really. I guess I'm thinking of this more in the use case of the Battle Force, like don't take three Slinger super squads. No.
I do agree with that. Okay, well, speaking
Don't do
of
drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, thank you for that very special message, Nick, for
It's
all
what
the
I'm here
kids out there.
for. It's what I'm here for.
So, speaking of squads with a whole bunch of minis with crap saves, let's move on to CIS and we'll start with the B1 Super Squad. So, what do you guys think about the B1 Super Squad? 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm a try. And Mike is a buy. Interesting. All right, well, we got to go to you, Mike. Why are you a buy on B1 Supers?
I actually think B1 supers are crazy efficient. And I think that there are lists that exist that, so a couple things. Separatist lists tend to have a ton of extra points. They
Yep,
almost have
that's
more
fair.
points than they could. They're like, oh man, I've hit 12 to 13 activations and I have 200 points left. What do I do with all these points? And obviously you could just like buy Dooku, but there are like other avenues there, if you just want to stick with your super tax. And I think one of those avenues is super squads. I think the B1 super squads are just they're a lot of health. I think particularly in the what is it? It's not experimental droids. The invasion force. I think we haven't seen it because there are people that just don't own 16B1
Not
squads.
yet.
Yeah.
It's called normal people, Mike.
Yes. But I actually.
I walk by the separatist invasion force starters at my LGS all the time, and I think about it, and I'm like,
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would consider it more if putting B1s together wasn't horrible, and
Oh
the
God, the heads.
prospect of
Yeah.
put I've
Yeah.
only I
All
put
those heads to
together
glue.
six boxes of B1s felt like a lot.
Yeah.
16 boxes of B1s, just like I don't need to assemble 200% more B1s than I already have in my life. I think I'm good. But there's going to be some crazy people out there that do, and I think you know, I don't think this is definitely not the best super squad, I think, but it is
Oh.
top three.
Okay.
So the best is yet to
Is
come,
the best yet to come, Mike, would you say?
I would think. He's pretty
We have
much
not
been
talked about number one or number two.
he I was gonna
Okay.
say he's pretty much been like the trash man the whole time
Well,
here,
you
like
know, I think we should just move on because well,
I'm
I will
excited now.
mention very quickly is that the B1 you get seven minis for the exact same cost that you paid for the base squad, which was six minis, so
Yeah.
That's a pretty good
Seems
buy
good.
right there. All
Yeah.
right, so let's move on to the sequel. B2s, B2 battle droids. This is gonna be probably ironic, the sign that I hold up, but 3-2-1. We got a triple buy. The reason I say it's ironic because you cannot buy them in real life. Sad face, hashtag minis in memoriam.
Yes.
But so Nick, I think we're probably already on the same page, but why are B2s a buy?
Because they're already a pain in the ass to kill. So why not
Yeah.
more of them be a pain in the ass to kill? They have good dice, they have good save.
Yep.
They don't really have keywords that like they lose efficiency on by doubling the squad size. So it's they're good. They're if you can afford them, like points wise, yeah, it's interesting
And
for
then
sure.
on top of that is that like part of the limitation, so to speak, on the experimental droids battle force back in its original iteration was the fact that no matter how good B2s were at any given time, is
They
that you were
could.
only allowed two squads of them, and you're still only allowed two squads. But guess what? Now they can be two super squads of B2s, and that can be pretty sick. And you know, when we talked about tempo earlier, is that you think of situations to where like you might have a Dooku list, for instance, to where you can play his one pip, you'll have cunning, and then you have direct trooper that you can give to your favorite super squad of B2s, and then you just get to go with them first no matter what, and unload a bazillion quadrillion dice on your enemy and probably make them very sad. But Mike, do you have anything to add to why they're super buy?
I mean, I think to me, this is the only super squad that actually like achieves the objective of being a brick house, you know, like literally unmovable. It is almost impossible to kill these things. And
It's what 14 wounds, right? Because the super squad brings four models, right? And the
that's
base is
assuming you
three.
don't take a heavy
And then you
weapon.
can have
Yeah,
a
you're
heavy if
taking
you
an
want.
ACM.
Like if you're putting that many points to it, I think you're taking the ACM. Or maybe even the HA at that point, just to get blast off. Like.
And at that point you're looking at a 16 health unit. They're very expensive. But honestly, if you contrast them with other things in that points bracket, they're actually like frankly a lot like if you contrast B2s to like Operative Luke,
Yeah.
right? Very similar in points costs. Before you get force push involved, frankly. And the B2s just hit like a sledgehammer. They have way more what's the word I'm looking for? Like Luke dies when he takes seven wounds. The B2 unit is not even half dead. You know, like it is
A lot of beef.
it's a lot of beef. It is a lot of beef. You know. Do you have to like it's awkward for army building, I think, is the biggest issue. Frankly, spending all that points in core, it's like the opposite
All
problem
one
you have with
core.
the B1s
Yeah.
is that the B1 core doubled up core units are like super cheap, and these guys are just so
Yeah,
expensive.
they are very
Yeah, I mean, with
expensive.
a heavy, the B1 is like less than 100 points. So,
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
and so I think you only can take one or two of these really and have an effective list, but they do become a focus piece in a way that basically no other super squad is able to become. They like become an actual focus unit, which I think is really
Yeah.
cool, and it is what I would have hoped to see an upgrade like this kind of turn a unit into globally for
Yeah,
everybody, I
I
think.
agree. Other super squads take note from B2s. You can copy off of their homework because they're the ones that did it right.
I mean, just give all core units red saves and 2 health, and it's fixed.
Well,
No.
I think a big piece to this is, I mean, is that Nick, you brought this up, but there's no you're not actually losing anything but the activation.
Yeah.
You're not losing keywords, you're not losing extra value, et cetera, et cetera. And the B2s and the B1s to some extent too have a built-in bonus that all this unit that you're spending a crap ton of points on
Never get
can never be
suppressed. Can't be
suppressed,
suppressed, exactly.
which is
Yeah.
And like
huge.
it's almost impossible to panic something with Indomitable. Like,
Yes,
and like a B2
100%.
might actually get enough suppression that like they might activate with like the super squad might get shot at enough times that they activate with like 5 or 6 suppression and still have like 5 models on the table.
Yep.
That could happen. And like they're probably not gonna panic because like, but yeah, they're never gonna be suppressed. It's great.
They're
I
good.
haven't tried them yet. I haven't tried them yet. The super squads. I've obviously played a lot of B2s because they're very good, but I haven't. But maybe
I would
soon.
recommend it.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe my Krabbies will scout some super B2s
Yeah, that is
up.
definitely one of the targets. So to round out the assist, we do have a unit that can be suppressed, but where the super squads actually made a recent splash at the LVOIS. So for Geonosian soldiers, what do we got? 3-2-1. Okay, so I think average of try and Mike, you were by. I think that all of us might be on the same page. I'll say that like the reason why I wrote try instead of by is because my opinion at least is that if you aren't running Poggle and if you aren't spamming Geonosians, then you should probably just leave them as the single unit to be something that can zip around and score points.
They're gonna get focused down so quickly and die because they just die when they get shot at.
Yeah. So Mike, you think that they're a solid buy? So what's your thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, I think of all of the super squad units, this is probably the most offensively capable for its points value.
Yeah.
And that it is what, 19 or 18 dice, 9 black, 9 white.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit less than 100 points, if I'm recalling correctly. And I don't think you can take them in mass because obviously that's too expensive to take a core unit in mass in basically any faction. However, I do think,
Somebody just did
yes,
LVO.
that's fair. I do think that the optimal place for the super squad though is in a list with aqua droids, and you just hide them behind the aquas. They're not going to degrade then. And if they blow the aquas away, then they've spent all that time doing that, and you jump over them with the Geonosians, and
Godspeed, sir.
you throw 18 dice at them,
Yeah. Yes, Nick, do you have any other thoughts on Geonosians?
No, I don't have a strong opinion on them, so that's why it's a try, basically. Like, 'cause I haven't gotten to try it yet. I still fear that like if you don't have a plan like hide them behind the aqua wall, they could just get blown off a table very quickly
Well,
because like that's what happens to Geonosians when they get shot at. They die. They
I do think
perish.
that like that's why I feel like if I can see the value of one as a tempo piece, like Mike was talking about, but and I can also see the value of supers if, especially if you're running Poggle, because then you can get those, especially the search to crit command, and also the The command where you're getting the extra tokens out of each one of them is that's like squeezing some extra value. But I think that if you're splashing them in there, I think you usually, I mean, at least the way I think about it is that I'd usually just like leave them as regular squads, and they certainly can die, but you're hopefully like keeping them in the back away from everybody else. So let us finish off with the one that for me was sort of like the toughest grade. Sadly, for clones, we only have one option, at least until the marksman comes out and rescues us from our monotony. But so for clone infantry, 3-2-1, try bite trash. What do you think? Okay, so I know you guys are both on trash, and listen, you're right.
I was gonna say it's not close seven.
First of all, you're right. I put try because the five shotgun super squad is capital F fun to put into a list,
Okay,
and
fine.
fives does give you charge, and that's pretty cool. Does that make it good? No,
I
but it
mean,
is fun.
I might
Yeah.
give you an upgrade to try with Yoda's hold rules.
Fair.
However,
Yeah, Yoda ain't what he used to be.
he ain't what he used to be.
Mark it 0 days since this podcast complained about Yoda, by the way.
Look, it's just, it's a
Reset
thing.
the clock.
Reset the clock.
Sorry.
Reset the clock from 1 to 0. Again. Yeah, I just. There is no world in which you should be doing this. It just there's zero worlds that you should be doing this.
He's
Here,
so mean.
I mean it's just the truth. Do not double your
He
clone squads. Do not. It is a bad thing. It will make your list just worse than
Yeah.
doing anything else.
Mike's right. I don't want him to be right, but he's right.
And I will say
Sometimes tough
that.
love is necessary.
That's
Yeah, and
true.
I actually feel this is the only unit that I feel like I can say that about that we've talked about today. I think that there is niche cases to like take super squads, even in Rebels,
Yeah.
that I think can you argue that a double fleet is like fine and good? Sure. Can you argue that a double rebel trooper is like a thing that you could do? Sure. There is zero situations, literal zero, where you should be taking a clone infantry squad and losing the reliable doubled up.
Yeah.
Literally, clones
That's it in a
live
nutshell.
and die
Yeah.
by the surge token, and you cannot afford to spend 60 points on a unit to not give it extra surge tokens.
Yeah.
You are not doing clones correctly if you are making that choice. And I am sorry.
Of
That's
love.
that just is what it is.
I think we says that we just got the title for our episode is Mike says you're doing clones wrong. If you're using super squads. Okay, well, yeah, I
To
think
be clear, it hurts me to say that
I
because
know.
I have 12 clone
Yeah, I
coordinates
think both of us have a lot of clone minis
that
that are just getting unused.
yeah.
And yeah, we still haven't been given a reason to use them. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for playing that little game. I will try to, when we do a blog post about this, sort of recount what the average vote was so that people can reference it and get mad at it all over again. But we appreciate you listening. We're about to wrap this bad boy up, but before we do, we need to take a moment to remember the fallen. If you've been paying attention the last few episodes, you know that we've been doing this little segment called Minis in Memoriam, where we cover all of the news from the Google Sheets being logged by one rowdy octopus in the Legion Discord that tracks when Asmodee runs out of certain expansions, which is usually the first stage of the multi-stage rocket of the end of availability for our beloved units. And so we have a few more to cover today. Mike, this is where we're gonna cue up the music right here. I will go over the names of the fallen first, and then once we complete the Requiem is that we can talk about what our thoughts are. But first, we're going to start with rulers and movement templates. That is the classic rulers and movement templates. They are moving no more. They are sold out at Asmodee. Next, we have Lando Calrissian, our favorite smuggler slash gambler slash cheater. They even put his cheating into the command cards, which I thought was great. But the one thing you can't cheat is death. Lando is gone. Next, we have Black Sun Enforcers. Now, some would question, like me, why you would really buy boxes of just Black Sun Enforcers when the Shadow Collective boxes are so cheap and still out there. But regardless, I think we can probably thank Lia LeClaire and others of her ilk for making this unit popular. Black Sun Enforcers are out of the picture. And then, funny enough that this one came up just as a last minute addition, and you might be surprised by this, but the Ewok Warriors unit expansion is now, for some reason, sold out at the Asmodee store. It is no more. So, gentlemen, I don't know what kind of thoughts you have about the recently departed.
So I think what I just heard was that there's literally zero places on the Asmodee store that you can purchase the tools to play the game.
That's right, Mike. As we covered the last time we did Minis in Memoriam, we covered how the Essentials kit has actually been sold out since July, which is also a problem. And also, tools did come in the core set as well. Both the Clone Wars and the original core set, both of those are also sold out. So I hope your LGS has it. Amazon might still have a few, but yikes.
I just, those scare me the most because,
yeah,
unlike basically all of the other tools or cards or whatever, the movement tools and the range rulers are not really have not really been competitively viable from a 3D replication standpoint.
Nope, they ain't print play.
Whereas, like, you know, obviously people have started doing some dice stuff and people have done the silhouettes and the cards and all that jazz. But I don't think if my opponent showed up with a custom movement tool, I'd have some questions.
Yeah, you know, MCP
like,
actually does that.
It's really
like,
cool.
There's a market for it in yeah. Marvel Crisis.
And Shatterpoint.
Yeah. Okay. In Legion, it never became a thing. I think it's like a little bit harder to replicate.
I would say that it, at least in MCP and Shatterpoint, the movement tools and the range rulers don't require themselves to A, bend, or B, attach and detach from each other, right?
Yeah, I think with Legion, it's like that the range rulers are so thin and like you can't really do much with that.
Yeah.
And it's like with Shatterpoint, it's like you see in MCP, you see the sets on Etsy of like the laser cut acrylic, and it's one design, like similar design, and it like makes sense, but like you can't really do anything with the Legion rulers because they're so small, so thin. Yeah. You can just paint them, but that's it. It's like doesn't look that good.
Nick, do you have any other thoughts on our fallen units?
I should look through my stuff and see how many extra sets of rulers and stuff I have. See if there's a market on eBay. No, I'll just hold on to them. And like if locals need them, I'll give them out, obviously. But it's I was like, shit. My first thought was like, oh man, how many do I have like in random places? Like probably everywhere. Like there's just like random stuff everywhere.
The kids are going to be walking up to you in local tournaments and they're going to be like whispering under their breath, you got any of those range rulers?
Got any of those range rulers?
I mean, you joke about this, but I lose movement tools and
I lose them
all the time.
This has got me worried for sure. I'm going to have to clutch onto them for dear life.
And put like an Apple AirTag on it.
It's wider than the actual ruler, but I had to do this to protect them.
Are Apple AirTags still a thing? I was under the impression that those got like
they exist.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been keeping up to I haven't been keeping up with Apple AirTag
I'm
news.
trying to help Apple here, trying to sell some more
I just heard that there was like
AirTags.
issues with people like tagging
Unfortunately, we're
people's
not
cars
sponsoring.
and stuff and like
I believe
using yeah, like using
I
them
was
for like
there.
really nefarious
They're
purposes.
using Apple AirTags like James Bond tracking devices.
Yes, 100%.
Oh my God. People are terrible. You can't trust them with any technology. They just like ruin it instantaneously. Yeah, so those are the, I mean, Lando, like you'll be able to find Landos, the unique characters you can always find, but Ewok Warriors,
How is Lando sold out? I'm the only Lando player in the
Yeah,
world,
I was
aren't
thinking the same
I?
thing.
Me and
Nobody's playing
Avocado.
him.
Well, thankfully, this will save people from playing bad units, you know?
Well, I mean, so yes,
Oh,
that's true
no,
now, but
Mike.
we don't know what his April card's gonna look like. So, who knows?
That's fair.
To close this out, I have a fun trivia question for you guys, is that this is where we would start the Jeopardy music, if we want to bother with that. But so at the end of whatever episode 9 was called, that movie was so bad that I'm blanking on already. It's like Rise of the Skywalker, right? It's one of those bad titles. But so there's three unique characters in Legion
And
who
somehow Palpatine
are
returned.
that's right. Somehow Palpatine returned, but then he somehow died again because Rey, like, she made an X out of her lightsabers, and then that caused it to go back. But this is unfortunately not a podcast about the quality of Star Wars Episode 9. My question to you guys is that there's three characters that are Legion characters that are confirmed. But being confirmed is an important piece of this to be alive at the end of the Skywalker saga. Actually, I should say that there's technically five. Now that I just remembered
I
that
know
there's
what the
one
other
more.
two are.
Yeah, because okay, that's a freebie. The other two that I just thought of are R2 and C-3PO. They are still alive. But other than that, do you guys know who the other three are? And the third one, I think, is the tough one.
Is it just
Well,
like
I mean, it's definitely Lando.
Lando is alive, yep, because he's there in the Falcon at the
That's
end.
easy.
I'm gonna go with Sabine.
She might be alive. It's not, she's not confirmed. I forget where he was. He
Well,
might have been with Lando, but
one is Chewie.
Chewie, exactly.
And I
So
think I know the third one.
do you know the third one? You're
Is it
okay, go
Wedge?
ahead.
Does Wedge count?
Well, but Wedge doesn't have a Legion mini.
He has
He's got
he's
a
a
he's
upgrade
got a
card,
card,
upgrade card.
but yeah, so like I'll definitely give you I'll give you credit for that one. That is true, is that
Half credit. All
Wedge
right.
is
So I don't know
alive.
the third then.
So the third one, because of a like 2 second scene at the end of the movie where they show that for some reason all these Star Destroyers are blowing up everywhere, even though the whole Navy was somewhere else. But there's a 2 second scene of Endor, and Wicket is
Yeah,
actually
shit.
there with his little baby
Baby
Ewok, by the
Wicket.
way. Little baby Wicket.
Hey,
But yeah,
Wicket
he
waited a long time to procreate if
he
that's little
really
baby, right?
did. Yeah, maybe that makes it disturbing about like how much of a
His
child was
grandson. It's
Wicket
probably his
when
grandson.
yeah, could be. Yeah, or maybe they just like live for 200 years. We I don't think we
Could
know
be
enough
too.
about Ewok physiology, but yeah, I thought that was a fun thing to think about. And when you look down the list and just like think of how many of these Legion characters have like canonically died, is that it actually gets a little bit morbid. Yeah, there's always the Ahsokas and Sabines where we don't really know what happened to them, but
I don't.
yeah.
I'm not sure that's fair. The ghost is in Rise of Skywalker and survives it.
A VCX-100 modified freighter is in Rise of
It's
Skywalker.
very clearly supposed to
Thank
be
you,
the
Nick.
ghost.
Thank you so
It's
much for correcting
very,
my canon
very
related
clearly
issues.
supposed to be the ghost.
Okay.
Oh, so
Yeah,
there's
but that's Hera's
also
ship.
the Shadowcaster's there too. So obviously, Katsu Anyo's still alive as
All
well.
right, now we're going beyond even people that have cards in Star Wars Legion.
But they have cards in
Katsuyo is
X-Wing.
for the X-Wing super fans out there.
R.I.P. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Sorry, your game's dead, guys.
Man, we just had to squeeze that in there. I yeah, I'm. By the way, Armada, they did get their final update, if anybody's still keeping track of that.
Yo, I don't know if this has always been in the Armada file update, but I cruised the Armada file update just because I was like, this is interesting. And I noticed at the bottom of all of the files in there, it's like, you can't use these cards in a tournament setting. You have to have the real ones too on all of the pages. And I thought that was interesting from a they haven't done that to us yet, and I hope they don't, because I don't know where most of my cards are at this point.
With Armada, when they did sort of like the 1.5 version of the game, so to speak, is that they released like one box that had literally every upgrade card in the game in it. And so I think that the direction they came from was that it's true that initially the upgrade cards came with expansions in the same way that they used to more commonly with Legion, that they often do with X-Wing. But after that update, is that there was literally one fairly tall box of cards for Armada that had all of the cards in it. And so I think that by saying that, AMG is basically just saying, you have to have purchased this game to play the game.
It was just interesting because
Yeah,
the
they never
amount of
released anything after that, did they?
yeah that was their last
Physically,
release for Armada, actually.
And the amount of cards in the errata document seems to be basically all of them.
It's a
So
lot because
it's
the
just
game
like,
went through a lot of revolutions. They had to ban quite a few cards also, so but yeah, I hope that the very last points update puts Armada in a good place as far as balance goes, because they ain't getting another one.
I don't think that's true. I think the Armada community will definitely continue
The
carrying the
community is going to
torch.
do stuff for sure. I just mean there's not going to be another official one. Yeah, so with that, I think it's about time to land this plane. Nick, is there, aside from go to Adepticon, is there anything you wanted to shout out?
No. Come to Adepticon. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah,
Can't
come
wait
to
to see you there.
Adepticon. Mike, it's going to be a great time. We hope
Mike.
to see you there,
You know,
Mike.
we'll see. We'll see.
Mike.
Definitely,
Yeah,
I,
Mike.
you know,
Come
jeez.
to
All right.
Adepticon. Mike.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's land the plane, eh? Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We really appreciate it. This has been the Notorious Scoundrels Podcast, Season 4, Episode 1. I'm Mike.
I'm Evan.
I'm Nick.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.